CITR 101.9 FM. Welcome to African Rhythms. I'm back with co-host, the ever enlightening Mike Ingram. Welcome, Mike.
Good evening, David. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. So I'm good to be back on full-on three-hour show with you. That's really the way to do it, to get deeper into the soul and the African musical tree around the world.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. So let's continue on with, maybe we should just say a couple things about the Aretha, how special. Music just doesn't really get much better than that, you know.
Oh, that was some good old-fashioned, old-school squealing there on the part of Aretha. She lost her highs about 5-6 years ago, but she continued to do concerts and perform, and they scaled things down for her voice. But, you know, that was like the tail end of her still having some reasonable range in her voice. So when you hear that shouting and that squealing and whatnot, it kind of set you off, get a little tingle going in there.
Yeah, it sure does. And that's the kind of music we're bringing to you here, and that's what you're going to hear in the next 3 hours, is a beautiful melange of the best in soul, Latin, African, you name it, jazzy and soulful. And another of our favorite Sam D's, we just got to bring this on one more time, the great After All.
Let's go to it. This is what I get in return for you.
Music like the 70s, after all, I realize that great music somehow is not getting through in the video age as easily.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
There's a place we'd like to know. Someone to say, hey, why won't you stay? Why won't you share your heavy load, baby? And that's the place that we shall know. Somewhere that I can reach the sky.
Beautiful originals track from Portraits of the Originals. That's something really special, Mike.
Oh, man, you just have to love the way they built that from the ground up. I mean, solid foundation, wonderful vocal and string arrangements, and how all the voices just blend like you're weaving a sweater or something like that. Man,
it's
just,
I know.
It just it wraps you up and you feel warm when you hear it because it's just beautiful work from top to bottom.
You're right. Well, soul perfection. I think we should give them another blast from the Dells versus the Dramatics.
Man, we're going with the heavy hitters here. I tell you, it's like World Series of Soul coming out here. But yeah. I got to make a quick aside for all the Florida Marlins fans out there in the house. Yeah. Big hello and all that good stuff. And the Cleveland Indian fans, it's all good. But until y'all change that logo, y'all going to have some problems. You know what I'm saying?
That's been a hell of a close series. Yeah, well, and so was the Dells versus...
Five vintage clothing stores will compete in a friendly fashion show, each representing a different era and theme. Showcase your vintage best, too, with live music from Mocha Only and local faves, Prisoners, with prizes and good times for all. Proceeds go to two downtown Eastside... Talk about swanky. It's the Poliera Spring Masquerade and Strut Off, March 24th at the Rickshaw Theater. Five vintage clothing stores will compete in a friendly fashion show, each representing a different era and theme. Showcase your vintage best, too, with live music from Mocha Only and local faves, Prisoners, with prizes and good times for all. Proceeds go to two Downtown Eastside nonprofits, Hastings Crossing BIA, and Our Social Fabric. How cool is that? Advance tickets are available at Eventbrite Online or Zulu, Neptune, and Red Cat Records. It's the Poliera Spring Masquerade and Strut Off, March 24th at the Rickshaw Theater.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you sweet deals on the West Side and UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, Displaced Hasheries, The Eatery, Fresh is the Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Illusion Studio and Spa, Herner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
A beautiful tune. They build and build until they're all screaming.
Big hello and all that good stuff. And the Cleveland Indian fans, it's all good. But until y'all change that logo, y'all gonna have some problems. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Solid found big hello and all that good stuff and big hello and all that good.
That's been a hell of a close series. Yeah, well, and so was the Dells versus the Dramatics. And on this tune, they build and build until they're all screaming in beautiful heavenly harmony.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to it, brother.
Okay.
Just a thing. Standing together, making our vows to love one another. For us that day can't come too soon. In the early spring, one beautiful day in June. Picture ground. I'll open my arms,
come here, baby,
and you slowly walk inside. I'll hold you close, kiss you tenderly. We're gonna look so good, arm in arm, so naturally.
Beautiful track, Picturesque, Bunny Siegler, ladies and gentlemen. And that is a vocal talent to be reckoned with.
Boy, I like that little doo-wop thing happening in the beginning there, you know? That definitely is an indication of how the transition formed. Even though Bunny Siegler did this on his own, the backup vocals and everything indicated the essence of doo-wop with the different part harmonies and things like that there. But it's
exciting.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah. It's just beautiful stuff. But it also, we were touching on this earlier, talks about the, we've spoken several times about the extolling the praises of Philadelphia International and how they do such an excellent job with arrangement and vocals and all the other types of things. But what really impresses me most is that for everything they do behind the microphone, you could not work for Philly International if you didn't have the chops. Every vocalist, every artist that was ever on Philly International's roster was able to sing. A lot of record labels are able to hide people who aren't as vocally talented, shall we say, and they'll cover up their flaws, but never with Philly International.
Yeah, with Dexter Wanzel and Bunny Siegel and all these just giant talents behind the scenes. And here's Bunny on this record, which is from about 74.
Yep.
There's, he's got these ballads like that, and then the 7-inch Regina, another very special moment where he's just laying down these no bars, beautiful soul singing.
Yes,
you know?
And this is an artist who didn't even really make an effort to pursue a career because he was so much in demand behind the scenes as an arranger and producer.
Exactly, and there are many artists like that. It was a time that a lot of really talented people were getting paid.
It all depends on what sound seems to be the dominant sound at that point in time, David, and I think that's the reason why. When Philly International was at full strength and everybody was really into it, people like Bunny Siegler had the luxury of going into the studio to actually perform, because everything else, like I said, they had such a big workload working and doing stuff for everybody else. They didn't have that kind of time. That attitude doesn't seem prevalent nowadays because everything seems to be in such a disposable frame of mind that you're like, you know, kick it out, get it out there, dish it out, and let's go and work on to the next person.
But isn't it amazing how the effect that trends have on what artists are doing? I mean, take the next band we're just about to hear, Soul Children. You know, starting in this earthy, southern, very deep vein. I mean, they laid down legendary underground records in the late 60s, early 70s, and then eventually they went more and more disco until they became, at the end of their CBS career, complete garbage.
Exactly, you know? And that's a good word, too, because that's exactly what it was. As people became more aware of what kind of music was coming out of the Stax organization in that neck of the woods, you know, they were pleased with what they were getting. It was a matter of the A&R people and the record company people being too greedy and not seeing the big picture. We see now that with the death of the Stax organization and the survival of a group of a label like Malico that didn't care anything about that. Malico stayed true to the music, stayed very much in its own little genre there.
And, in the South.
And Malico weathered the storm. Malico was the tiniest out of all of them. And here it, Malico is still here. Stax and all its...
Yeah, they have a business. Basically, they've got a business know-how that's going on. They got a, and sometimes the repopularization of a genre or a field suddenly can come on. I mean, when people realize the greatness of songwriting and roots music and vocal ability and these kinds of things, I think they do, but they don't realize it. A few people have slipped through.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because in every... time frame, there's always been an X factor involved, and we spoke on this in the last show briefly about how hip-hop changed the factors for everybody, because the record companies, the big companies, saw that the public could take their dollars and give it to the kids, give it to the people who were playing the music that they wanted to hear. So when they got taken out of the equation, all of a sudden they want to come in and buy everything up and be involved in distribution, and that changed music briefly for everybody, because now it woke up a lot of old careers and it helped to create some new careers, and it also helped a lot of young artists to realize that they could control their own destiny a little bit more than maybe those predecessors in the 50s and 60s who were pretty much at the mercy of record companies and you know, rather shady folks.
Unfortunately, in the vision of hip-hop, and I love it, of you know, sampling great tunes and the creativity of that, not enough bands so far have got deep into creating their own grooves to the degree and skill of JB's and Funk Incorporated and some of the really heavy, sophisticated funk bands. There is some of that going on in the what they call fusion field with GRP and whatever.
Yeah, but that takes work. You know, it takes work. It's a lot of effort. From personal experience, it takes work to keep a band together. It takes a lot of money. It definitely takes a lot of temperament. You definitely cannot have an ego thing happening and whatnot on the negative side if you're going to maintain and keep a band and have a sound and define it and work on it and stuff. So all of these things they have a little more leeway for now, but that wasn't as much a luxury, you know, over the last few years because of the way the large record companies were merging and becoming even larger ones and really shortening the artistic frameworks for a lot of their acts.
Fascinating. Okay, well, let's go back now then to the days of real music, where cottage industry labels and things were going on, and it was a beautiful time, and here is one of its great exponents, the Soul Children.
I'm David Love Jones, and yes, we're listening to a repeat of some of the great shows I did back in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, with Mr. Mike Ingram. Big up to him. And so we're going to go back into the show now, but like I said, it's from 1997. Call in if you like, 604-822-CITR. And of course, CITR.ca, you can tune in and podcast right there.
This is a song about love, the joy of having it, and the agony of being without it. I've heard it said that all is fair in love and war, and I can see why. Because when the heart gives a command, the mind, soul, and body must obey. This is about a young girl that got hung up on a married man. In all her life, she had been taught that this is wrong. She tried to shake it loose, but it didn't work. She was in too deep. And soon neighbors began whispering. And that's when her conscience went to work. It got to the point she would walk the floor at night, searching for a solution. And one of those nights, she remembered she heard somewhere that open confession is good for the soul. So she went to her mother and confessed that she was hung up on a married man. And her mother, being the religious type, told her these words: "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." But I think the words she wanted to hear at that time, two composers summed it all up. They brought it on down in the words of this song. If you and you're afraid to give yourself for fear of people talking, when they find he belongs to someone else, even though it's love makes it right. Love makes it right. Love makes it right. just as long as I'm the only one other than your wife. Your wife, how would she feel if she caught us together the same way I would feel if I caught you with another?
That's some great singing. That's the Soul Children, and this is Friction, Mike, which to me is one of their finest records.
It was an excellent piece of work, 1974 by Stax, and you know, you would never know from the work that was done that we were talking about Stax in the midst of its death throes, because this was the time where all of a sudden things were changing and everybody was getting into a disco thing, which was kind of sad because they weren't doing quality disco. But the bottom line in the whole deal is that Stax didn't do a decent job in figuring the big picture. And because of that, great artists and great musicians had to suffer for it. I mean, this is a killer lineup you got here. You got Al Jackson from Booker T and the MGs, the Muscle Shoals, Rhythm Section, the Memphis Horns. I mean, this was the essence of what Stax sound was about from the time it was born.
Yeah, I mean, this record, from the first time I heard it, Mike, it shook me. And you know, I've enjoyed it ever since. And let's hear another track, What's Happening, Baby?
Hey, are you going out again tonight? You was out last night. As a matter of fact, you've been out every night this week. Is that a new dress? Oh, you had it quite a while. I see. It looks good on you. Even though it's quite revealing, wouldn't you say so? Oh, you believe in letting it all hang out. Okay, well, I can dig it. But what I want to know, when you start believing, letting it all hang out. When I stop noticing you. Oh, wait a minute, baby. You can come with something better than that. I've been noticing you, all right. I've been noticing a change. Wait a minute now. Holy, don't tell me you haven't changed. Hey, I can see. I'm not blind. I walk into the room. You hang up the telephone like you're saying something you don't want me to hear. Well, who you be talking to? And when I come around, you shy away from me like I'm poison or something. And when we go to bed, I'd be afraid to reach over, you know, and touch you. It's really getting to the point, you know, where I feel like a stranger in my own home. Hey, you know that ain't cool. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you're going to tell me. Hey, it was a time we could sit down and, you know, talk over whatever problem we had. Well, now sit down. I know your friends out there, but look. Tell me. What's happening, baby? Tell me. What's happening, baby? Every time you hear a car horn blow, almost kill yourself. Running to the door, peeping and can't home. Could it be you have been in an affair? What's wrong with you? You're just not acting like yourself.
Tell me.
Out there in the streets, that keeps you out all night, away, 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 away from me. Whatever it is that's wrong, you're just about to mess around.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
About bikes. Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and...
And if I had someone to love me, and if I had someone to really care, I would be I do. Yeah. And if I had one sunny day, and if I had someone to chase my blues away, I would be, I would be the luckiest man in the whole wide world. 'Cause I need somebody just to love me back. Empty feeling, this empty feeling. Someone is alive, I need somebody to stop up. There's this life, she's in this night. I need someone to love. Would you hold me and hold real tight? Would you hold me? Somebody to hold me. Would you hold me? Hold me. Hold me. Somebody just to love me. If only.
somebody just to hold my hand.
Yeah, you know the one, our favorite, Teddy Pendergrass. We're going to keep laying on the heavy Teddy tracks until we extinguish all of them, Mike.
Well, that's going to be quite a while, man. I just hope that there's enough sweat to go around for the folks out there listening.
Yeah, that's you're listening to African Rhythms, and we're going to be here until 9 o'clock. My name's David Jones, and my guest here is Mike Ingram, and we're going to talk a little bit about a local native. Bobby Taylor.
Root for the home team. Bobby Taylor, discovered by Motown when they happened to come up to Vancouver to a place called the Elegant Parlor to listen to Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers, who at the time had a guitar player by the name of Tommy Chong, who we know from...
Cheech and Chong?
Yes, indeed, yeah. That very one. And a rare sight to see in the fact that this was an integrated group. You know, you didn't see a lot of that in the late 50s, early 60s, so... they saw and obviously liked what they saw, and they ended up signing these guys to a contract at Motown.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fair to say that the healthy R&B community in Vancouver, there was some good players around. I've talked to my friends Bill Ryder and some people, and they've told me about that time when Bill had a show in the late 60s, Groove and Blue.
Yeah.
It was a special time. There was the Cave, and, you know, there was places you could see some really wicked stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the old-timers here mentioned the Cave, but, you know, the interesting thing about it is that, you know, back in New York, you know, I talked in the last show about how, you know, they were like white kids in South Brooklyn who were doo-wopping, and, you know, the black kids doo-wop. Everybody dug the sound, and they dug the whole concept of it, but rarely did you see groups work together. Now, ironically, backstage, they might be trading riffs and stuff like that, but you would never see a mixed group. But this time, this was rare to see a mixed group like this.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking mid-60s here.
Mm-hmm.
A really special track, Does Your Mama Know About Me?
She gonna find out.
Accept me as a man, and what I anyway, you're not a little bored. But if you, baby, if you're serious, don't play with my heart. You make me furious. But if you want me to love you, baby, I will. Boy, you know that I will. Tell it like it is. Don't be ashamed. Let your conscience be your guide. 'Cause I know deep down inside of me, I believe you love me. So forget your foolish pride.
Yes, a beautiful vocal version of Tell It Like It Is, very well-known track. You have to be in awe of that version. Betty Swan.
Betty Swan. Haven't heard from her in quite a while. Came out in the early 60s with a huge hit called Make Me Yours, and then there was a significant gap of time before she really got on track again.
That's on a West Coast label, Capitol. We continue on now with the bad brother, Leroy Hudson.
Oh.
Every time you kiss my lips or touch me with your fingertips, it thrills me so, 'cause I'm in love with you, girl. And when I need some love to hide loneliness I feel inside, you come to me, 'cause I'm to take me apart. 'Cause your love is all that I need. So won't you stay here by me? If you took your love away, I couldn't live another day. You hurt me so, 'cause I'm in love with you, girl. I'm so proud. Everything that I can do to keep you here, 'cause I
Brother James Brown, Mike.
Ooh, you can't get no better than that. That's James at his vocal best from the early days. We were talking earlier that while everybody was doing whatever they were doing and all that stuff, that James and Little Richard had a huge rivalry going on back in those days. In the late 50s, early 60s, both are from Georgia. James Brown from Augusta, GA, and Little Richard, or Richard Penniman, from Macon, Georgia. And there were areas that were... well, they were Little Richard territory, and there were certain parts that were James Brown territory where when he performed there, people would go crazy. They'd talk for days as to how fantastic the shows were. And there was a very, very spirited competition between the two of these gentlemen. And they brought the best out in each other because they took each other artistically as far as they could possibly go.
Yeah, some of those ballads Little Richard was doing around the early 60s, that's some pretty devastating early... what became the deep southern soul stylings in some ways.
Very much. James sticking to the hardcore, real gut bucket type stuff. Little Richard having his stuff cleaned up because there were people like Pat Boone, you know, stealing money from the guy, doing remakes of some of his songs and stuff. So he went in another direction. But the bottom line was the two of them were just these two master showmen. And they would stop at nothing. I mean, James doing splits and cartwheels and leaping into the crowd, and Little Richard getting on top of the piano and break dancing. I mean, all kinds of wild stuff. I mean, well, stuff that maybe wouldn't be considered wild by our standards nowadays, but back then, it was the type of stuff that really made people, you know, stand up and really
chill. Oh, man, it would have been something to see. Let's turn our attentions now to a record we wanted to feature for a while, the You Are My Starship album, Norman Conner's early 70s Buddha, and something really special going on here. People like Dee Dee Bridgewater and Michael Henderson, who's going to be singing on this You Are My Starship track.
Yeah, Michael Henderson, Gene Karn, actually, on one of his earlier ones, Saturday Night Special, did a version of the Brazilian Gingy, and it was a wonderful vocal version. Phyllis Hyman eventually got involved with this as well, and she did a cover of the Stylistics' Betcha by Golly Wow.
Norman Connors, although the albums were entitled, and he was the person who was given credit for it, he broke a lot of careers, or he opened up things for a lot of singers in that time frame.
Michael Henderson, who's going to be singing on this You Are My Starship track.
Yeah.
Definitely, we're talking about some really creative people, so let's check it out now.
That's almost it for another African Rhythms.
Sometimes I feel like there's no use in trying.
Coming up, The Basements with Rats.
Why can't I face the fact we've lost what we'll never get back? I don't know where did we go wrong? I say I'm leaving, but my feelings are too strong. And baby, you know I'm in love, baby. So in love with your darling.
And that's the show with Mike Ingram from 1997. Come back next week for a live show between 7:30 and 9.
I'm in love, darling. So in love with you, baby. When I say I'm leaving, girl, I'm just make-believing. Mm-hmm. I ain't going nowhere. No, baby.
Exquisite album entitled Love and Beauty, Lamont Dozier, and the perfect compliment, Mike, to the last tune, You Are My Starship. Same era, great songwriting, music, both of them having that great saxophone solos.
Mm-hmm, without a doubt. And I find what's really interesting about this is that Lamont Dozier, very much part of the Motown sound for years because he was behind the scenes as one of the writers for a lot of the material, decided to take that whole thing to the West Coast. And then they formed the Invictus Hot Wax Empire, where they tried to duplicate that. They had some great artists.
I don't know if it was the dollars weren't behind or...